living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I guess you saw it on the news yesterday. President Trump, President Putin, and Boudreaux were fishing. They started talking about space exploration. President Putin said, "The Russians are the first and out of space." President Trump said, "Yeah, but we Americans were the first on the moon." Boudreaux, not to be outdone, said, "Yeah, but we Cajuns gonna be the first one on the sun." The president shook their head and went, "No, no, no. You'd burn up. It's too hot." Boudreaux said, "Oh, y'all so dumb. We gonna go at night." I think that must have been what it was like on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was like night, nothing happening, and suddenly it was as though the sun opened up. The clouds came down and this brilliant radiance came forth. What a sight that must have been. Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. Dazzling white. Glowing in the dark. What a sight. The transfiguration. When is the last time you and I were in the presence of God? Was it at our baptism? Confirmation? When we needed something from God? Or was it at a time of joy? I want you to do a mental concordance for a moment. Think about the times you went to God when you needed something, and the time that you spent equal amount of time giving God thanks for the joy you have received. My guess is it's like that. The scales are tipped in favor of I need something versus an equality of joy and need. The transfiguration is about our hearts being transformed. But life hits us, doesn't it? There's a story about a priest that showed up at a new parish and discovered it was Saturday afternoon. The yard had not been mowed by the young yard boy. So he went out, got the church yard mower, and tried to start it up. And he pulled the rope, and he pulled the rope, and he pulled the rope. Finally, he was sweating a little bit, and he pulled it again, and nothing's happening. And the 13-year-old showed up on his bike. "Father, I'm sorry I'm late, but I'm here now to mow the yard. Were you trying to do it?" "Well, yes, I was." "You having trouble?" "Man, I keep pulling the string on this lawn mower and it just won't start." He said, "Well, that's a very special lawn mower. In order to get it started, you've got to cuss a little bit." He said, "Young man, I haven't cussed in a very long time." He said, "Keep pulling that rope and you will." And that's life. Why do we do it? We keep pulling that rope, expecting it to start, and nothing happens. That's life. That's why we need to be transfigured. And when we're transfigured, we need to understand that we need to keep that transfiguration. How many times does something special happen to us, and we give thanks to God, and then we go about life? I knew a young man that had terminal cancer. We prayed for him. We wanted a miracle, and through the medical arts, he received one. No explanation. Cancer was gone. And what did he do? He got his miracle. He was transformed, transfigured, if you will. And so he started sleeping in on Sundays because he was fine. That's what happens when we go to the mountaintop. We expect every day to be just like the mountaintop. We get with God, the cloud comes down, and we feel great. And then, what happens next? Look at what it said in today's gospel. They went to the mountaintop. They didn't live there. They didn't stay there. Jesus had to go back to the valley. And as the psalmist would say, he went back to the valley of the shadow of death. That's what happens in the mountaintop. We experience God, but then we've got to go back to life. When you are transformed, transfigured in your heart, doesn't mean you're going to be rich. It doesn't mean that all diseases go away. It doesn't mean that miraculously your life is better, but what it does mean is you can bear it because God is with you. You've been transformed with the living God indwelling in your heart. Being transformed in God's presence means we are truly the imperfect children of the perfect God. I want you to hear that again. We are the imperfect children of the perfect God. And in our transformation, our transfiguration, going to that mountaintop, we are in the presence of the perfect God. And because we are imperfect, somehow we are made a little bit better. How do we do it? I think there's three steps, and here they are. Step one, as a child, our parent says, come here. We do it. As an adult, God says, come here. Well, we'll do it when it becomes convenient. That's the difference. We've got to be like children. We've got to go to God, sit down with God, and be with God. The second step is we've got to recognize we need to sit in that chair. Notice how I worked it in from the children's sermon? We've got to sit in that chair and be with God in times of great tribulation, travail. But we also have to be in that chair with God when there is great joy in our life. We can't forget that. Heartfelt gratitude for the water table rising to fill the well, to water the crops in the field, to give thanks for the sunshine, to give thanks that despite all our faults, somebody loves us. A soft nod of gratitude for the sunshine. How often do we do that? Not a lot, but we should. So step one is to pull out that chair and be with God. Step two is to sit in that chair and thank God as well as tell God our needs. And step three is the hardest of all. Shut up. I really mean that. We've got to be quiet. I didn't say silent. Because we give the silent treatment to people we're mad at. We need to be quiet so we can listen to God. And how does God talk to us? Man, I sure wish God did email. My life would be better. I don't know about yours. I wish I could hear God talk to me audibly. I think that would be great. But maybe you're like me. God doesn't fax, email, hit my cell phone, or even speak out loud. But how God reaches me is that feeling inside that is so deep that it says, you're going in the right direction. Here is the answer to your decision, and it just feels right. Or you get that abundance of peace that just overwhelms you. That's how God speaks to us. There's a wonderful story from an unknown source called The Empty Chair. It goes something a little bit like this. There was a new priest in town. He went to see a man that was bedridden, dying of a terminal disease. His daughter had called. The priest shows up, walks into the room, and sees there's an empty chair by the bed. He says, ah, the man's expecting me. He says, well, I'm so glad you knew I was coming. He goes, I don't have a clue who you are. And the priest said, well, I'm the new assistant priest at your church. I thought you were expecting me because I saw the chair. He said, oh, well, I'm glad you're here, but close the door. I have something to tell you. What do you want to tell me? Well, my daughter doesn't even know this, and I haven't shared this really with anyone, but I'm a man that did not know how to pray. I didn't know what to do. And one day, my very best friend in life came and said to me, Joe, prayer is just a simple matter of having a conversation with Jesus, here's what I suggest. Sit down in a chair and have an empty chair across from you and see Jesus sitting in that chair and have a conversation with him just like you and I are doing. The bedridden man told the priest, "That's what I've been doing. I find so much meaning in it. Not spooky anymore. I do it a couple of hours a day. But don't tell my daughter. She sees me talking to an empty chair, she's going to put me in the funny farm." The priest said, "You know, that sounds like a really good thing to do. You keep talking to that empty chair. Keep talking to Jesus." 2 days later, the priest got a call in the afternoon. The man had entered larger life. He asked the daughter if he passed peacefully. She said, "Yeah, it was the strangest thing. I walked in and kissed him on the cheek. He told one of his corny jokes. I went out for groceries. When I came back, he was gone. He was peaceful, but it was weird." "What do you mean weird?" He said, "Well, just before Daddy died, apparently, he leaned over from his bed and he put his head on an empty chair." That's transfiguration. That's what it means to talk to God. Jesus made the journey to the mountaintop to be with God. We need to make that same journey. If he can walk to the mountaintop, surely on Sunday morning we can come down Columbus Avenue to St. Paul's. And during the week, at some point, pull up an empty chair. Talk to Jesus. But don't tell him what you need all the time. Thank him for what God has done in your life. Be transfigured in the sense that the transformation is real. You feel lighter. You feel like you have direction. You feel the indwelling of Christ. And then get ready, as you're going to be pulling on that string of that lawnmower for a long time. You're going back into the valley. But when you do, you're not going to be going alone, for Jesus